Former members, are there apologies visibly?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. President, there is one apology from Honorable Motara.
Honorable Motara, yeah. She's booked off sick. I think we can accept that apology. It's a valid apology. Thank you so much. And we recognize Honorable Monakeri. He's from Limpopo. Then next to him there in the second row is Honorable Mandi from KZN, where the sun rises. And then he gets to Mpumalanga, from where Honorable Esther comes from. And the Honorable Terblanche is in Mossel Bay, the George area. They call it the Eden District. Very nice part of South Africa. And the Honorable Otla Shipping from the Northwest Province, and myself, Charles de Beer from the province of Northern Cape, and Honorable Gaylor, mustn't sit so low, from the Eastern Cape, Tata, yeah, the Eastern Cape, I was born there. So welcome to all of you. I tried my best, I can't get him there. The Honorable Minister indicated he can be with us until 11. There's cabinet committees running, etc. So I want to put him on first, that we listen to the Honorable Minister, his input. And after that, we take the department, and then after the department, National Treasury, and after National Treasury, we'll take questions. That we adjourn this meeting not later than 12:30. Because there's other meetings running between 1 and 2. Honorable Minister, welcome. You may address the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Select Committee. Thank you for offering us the opportunity to come and report on the issues around the disaster that we have gone through. Amongst us here, I will just introduce a few members of all the team. On my left is Dr. Tau, Mapakat Tau, who is the head of the disaster management side. On his left is the chief operations officer, Ms. Lakela Kaunda. And on my right is Ms. Radikonyana from National Treasury. And all of us are ready to do the presentation. If Chairperson, you'd allow me just to do a few comments ahead of time. Thank you again for the opportunity provided to interact with the Select Committee on Appropriations as per invitation dated the 30th of May, entitled Provincial and Municipal Disaster Grants Performance from Inception to Date. Our report will precisely cover the scope of the topic, as you rightly have both side, the COCTA and the Treasury together. Honorable Chairperson and members, it's worth noting that the presentation takes place exactly on the last day of the period during which a national state of drought disaster was declared, which since the 31st of May, March 2018. I'd like to inform the committee that I've decided not to renew the state of national disaster, drought disaster, when it lapses today. However, the existing classification of a national disaster remains in force, with the implication that the national executive will be responsible still for the coordination of the drought interventions listed above under the aegis of the Interministerial Task Team on Drought and Water Scarcity. This IMTT will issue regular updates about the developments in this regard. It will be noted from the report that the disaster grants will be briefing members about continue to contribute to making a positive impact in reversing the negative effects of the various disasters, including the current drought, gripping most parts of our country. Honorable Chairperson and committee members, it's important to acknowledge that the Constitution of the Republic, Act 108, as a point of departure on the role of the disaster grants to be reported about today. To be specific, Section 24 in Chapter 2 of the Constitution of the Bill of Rights states as follows, and I quote, everyone has a right, A, to an environment that is not harmful to their health and well-being, and B, to have the environment protected for the benefit of the present and future generations, unquote. Within this context, the Disaster Management Act of 2002, that's Act 57 of 2002, establishes a disaster risk management system which is founded on key measures, notably the prevention, preparedness, mitigation, and emergency response. Given the fact that the disasters are by their nature unforeseen and often unavoidable, the disaster grants were introduced by Parliament since 2010 and 11 financial year in order to ensure that there is sufficient resources to provide emergency response in the face of disasters. As key principles of the grant, it's critical to note that they are not implemented as a first line of defense in the face of disasters, but they only come in to complement resources of affected sector departments, provinces and municipalities, since they have activated their contingency measures and exhausted their financial resources. Notable also is that the grants are administered jointly by Department of Corporate Governance and National Treasury and are meant to be spent over a period of 3 months following allocation. These grants are structured in three categories, notably the Provincial Disaster Grant, the Municipal Disaster Grant, and the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant. The structure of the report will cover the legal and operational perspectives of the grant, encapsulating the following areas: the guiding principles for the disaster finding, the processes of for processing of applications and the administration of the grants, allocation of grants from their inception to date, financial and non-financial performance for the allocated projects, and how the grants are monitored and supported by the Department of Cooperative Governance through the National Disaster Management Center, challenges encountered in the monitoring and implementing of grants, remedial measures and improvement to the administration of grants. From the report, honorable members will notice that since the inception of the grants in 2010-2011 financial year, a total of 4,569,700,000 was set aside, for which an amount of 1,473,200,000 was spent on various disasters across the country. These figures are broken down as follows. We will indicate the municipal grants, the municipal disaster relief grant. The figure was over 2.5 billion, and then of course the expenditure was 423 million from 2011, 2012 to 2017 to 18. Then on the provincial grants, it was provincial disaster relief grant 1.3 billion, and the expenditure was 407.9 million. And then municipal disaster recovery grant 668 million, and then spent 641 million. The total is that the division of revenue allocations from 2011 and 12 to 2018-19 is 4,569,700,000, and the expenditure is 1,473,200,000. Whilst the depicted spending trend might appear to be low, honourable members will appreciate that the disaster grants are not meant to be a first line of defence, but are only activated once the resources of the resources of the relevant sectors, national and provincial departments as well as municipalities, have been exhausted. Furthermore, government has on several occasions allocated funds to deal with various disasters drawing from the contingency reserve as well as the reprioritisation of funds by various sector departments and municipalities. There are also projects which are currently being implemented using the disaster grants dealing with drought in the eastern, northern and western Cape provinces. This is an important measure and key to compliance with the Public Finance Management Act by ensuring the elimination of duplications and wastages in the use of the state resources. The report will therefore outline lessons learned as well as challenges encountered and how these are being addressed to ensure that the grants continue to make a meaningful impact on the lives of our people, particularly the vulnerable sectors of society, in advancing the Tumamina approach within the provisions of our Constitution. It gives me pleasure at this point, Honorable Chairperson, to present the official, and it's up to you how you would deal with it. I'll try and wait for the presentation to be done, then we can participate in the debate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Minister. The Minister highlighted the crucial matters. If you work through the documents on the members, the last four pages actually tells us what have to be enhanced, what have to be improved, like reporting on grant spending and the impact on service delivery, the integrated planning through IDPs of municipalities. Are emergency procurement policies in place? Do municipalities and sectors have contingency plans in place? But that's crucial. You don't know when a disaster is going to hit you. like the fire in Naisna many years ago in Mpumalanga, the forest started burning. Nearly the whole province was burned down in terms of the forest. It was a serious disaster. Dr. Tau, we call you the lion. Tau means lion. Yes, it's a strong word. you may continue with your presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, COO and colleagues. The structure of the presentation has already been outlined by the Minister. Next slide is as follows. The structure is outlined as introduced by the Minister, and I will just move straight into the substance. The purpose, as per the letter of invitation, is that Honorable Minister is presenting to the Select Committee on Expropriations on the expenditure performance of the provincial and municipal disaster grants since their inception in 2010-11 financial year. In terms of the introduction and background, it is worth noting that the disaster relief grants were introduced during this period and that they are jointly administered by the Department of Cooperative Governance as well as the National Treasury, and that the main objective is to ensure immediate response to the needs of our communities following the occurrence of disasters in order to deal with the consequences thereof, and that the grants are conditional and can be accessed by municipalities and provincial organs of state within 90 days following the declaration of a state of disaster in order to repair critical infrastructure, and that every year we have what we call the grant framework in terms of which this grants are administered, and we use the conditions of the grant framework to consider allocations. These funds for immediate disaster response are provided through the provincial municipal disaster grants, and these conditional grants are designed for rapid release of funds and are intended to fund, amongst others. So we just here list the items which we cover, such as the provision of humanitarian relief, temporary shelter, food, as well as essential services during the first 3 months. And that once the immediate impact of a disaster has been dealt with, funds are allocated for post-disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation through the budget adjustment processes. With respect to reconstruction and rehabilitation, funds for disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation are added to the provincial sector grants. That means we have those three categories of grants, as Minister has indicated. The emergency, the provincial disaster grant, the municipal disaster grant, and the rehabilitation grant, which are then added to the grant
arrangements of various sector departments such as education infrastructure grant, provincial road maintenance grant, and to be accessed over the MTM period. Disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation allocations to municipalities are usually transferred through specific disaster recovery grants, as we are shown there. The key principles of these grants that are worthy of noting are the following. We, in line with Chapter 6, Section 56 and 57 of the Disaster Management Act, firstly, we look at whether prevention and mitigation measures were taken. That there has not been ignorance, and the Honorable Chair has just cited that point also. Secondly, whether the disasters could have been avoided or minimized had prevention and mitigation measures been taken. We also check whether it is reasonable to expect that prevention and mitigation measures should have been taken, and whether there's adequate insurance so that there's no double benefiting from the support that is provided. Also, the extent of financial assistance available from community, public, or other non-government institutions. We also look at the magnitude and severity of the disaster, the financial capacity of the victim of the disaster, and their accessibility to commercial insurance. So these are legislated measures. And then in terms of the administration and the process to access the funds, firstly, a classification of disaster by the NDMC is required. A detailed disaster assessment report stating the number of people affected and details of infrastructure damages, so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you deal with a service delivery backlog, but you deal with damages that can be accounted for that particular occurrence. There should also be evidence that affected sectors are unable to avail resources to address the disaster damages. Honorable Minister has indicated that this fund is not meant to be the first line of defense. So sectors should consider their funds, including reprioritization, before this can be considered. A copy of the contingency plan is very important. Business plans and cash flow projections, so that the funds are allocated for the right purposes, and monitoring and evaluation of impact can be made with ease. We also conduct preliminary cost verification as the NDMC. We also conduct assessment of the impact, so that we can indeed check that it is as a result of the occurrence. Provide written advice on the timing of the disbursement, so that is what we as the NDMC always do. We also notify relevant municipality of the transfer at least one day before transfer of the funds. And then we also notify the relevant provincial disaster management centers together with relevant sector departments, national treasury and provincial treasury, so that there's cooperation between all affected sectors in the implementation of the project. Where we deal with disaster recovery grants which are for long term, we appoint an independent assessors to conduct damage assessment and do cost verification, so that funds are requested on the basis of cost verified by experts than estimations. Then assessment reports are presented to the national and provincial task team for approval or recommendation. All accounting officers are compelled to sign off the reports before submitting to the HODs of the Department of Cooperative Governance to sign in the provinces before they come to national. Also, that the request for funding, including sign off reports, is then submitted to the NDMC. Next slide, slide 9. Is the administration process continuing? Then once we receive those reports from provinces, the NDMC consolidates and process the submissions through to National Treasury, and that the funding for disaster recovery is only assessed during the budget assessment adjustment process or appropriation. So this is that set funding. So we talked about the provincial disaster grant, the municipal disaster grant, and the municipal recovery grant, which would then be accessed through that process. Funding for disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation is added to the provincial sector departments Depending on whether it affects education infrastructure or roads, it will then be added to the existing grants. And disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation allocations to the municipalities are transferred through the municipal disaster grant. So this also continues. We now in slide 10. Funds from this grant can only be used to purchase the item described in the NDMC provincial and municipal grant framework. So there will be no deviation allowed. And secondly, funds can only be released after disaster has been classified in terms of the Act, and that other organs are considered, other legislation are considered when funds are to be released to the municipalities or provinces. Notable also is that proof must be submitted that the sector cannot fund the occurrence based on reasons stated before an application can be made. This is just to make sure that the disaster grants do not take over the responsibilities of sectors to ensure that they respond adequately to the disaster occurrences. Just skip this part. In terms of the expenditure, now slide 11, honorable members, the allocations from 2010-11, as you can see there, the DORA allocation for that financial year was 470 million. The actual transfers after meeting the criteria we outlined was about 32.3, and expenditure was 32.3. So, and then for 2012-13, and with your indulgence, Chair, I want to request that I don't go through each one of them because they're... Okay, thank you. This is for the Municipal Disaster Relief Grant. So the next one, okay, there's just a footnote there to state that if you take a relationship between the actual transfers and the expenditure, that the transfer that DCOG makes will only derive impact once the funds have been spent by the receiving organ of state, so that we really are clear that it does not guarantee that there has been implementation. Then in the next, in this slide is basically the provincial disaster relief grant. It shows also the allocations. 2011-12 was 305 million. An amount that met the criteria is 15.1 million was transferred, and then that money was also spent. And then we can see for the other financial years, in some areas there's been non-spending, but it could be because of various challenges. Some are cited below, and they are reflected in the challenges that we'll be presenting later. The Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant, which is accessed over a MTF period, and for 2013-14, about 118 million was allocated. And in terms of the DORA, the actual transfer was 118.3, and that money was spent. So again, the footnote about the impact applies, you know, to this particular area. Next slide, which is slide 14, is in respect of the financial and non-financial performance of the disaster grants. We can see there that allocations for funds were transferred to the below mentioned municipalities in Mpumalanga, and the amount of 32.3 million was spent for that financial year, and an amount of 15.1 million was accessed from the provincial disaster relief in 2011-12, and that amount was allocated to the Department of Human Settlement to provide emergency shelter. This slide now 15. It's funds that were for 2012-13, about 330 million. The Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape provinces experienced flooding, and amounts were allocated in that manner. In this slide, which is now 16, it's also on the municipal disaster grant for 2013-14. The Western Cape province received 22 million. From the municipal disaster grant for the below mentioned period, and we can see the municipalities that benefited from that. Also for Limpopo, we can see the municipalities that benefited Vembe, Mutale, Tulamela, and Makado. Then still on the municipal disaster grant 13-14, it's slide 17, honorable members, KZN received a total of 34.1 million from the municipal grant, and two districts were affected. The amounts are shown there. We can see Etekwini received Mdoni, Ugu, Katamba, Vulametro, Mzumbe, Mnambiti. Vulametro.
Thank you.
In terms of the provincial disaster grant, honorable members, for 2013-14, Northwest Agriculture, in respect of drought, received 43.6. This is for 2013-14 financial year. And Northern Cape, 50 million for drought also. Western Cape, 26.6 million. And that was for Department of Transport and Public Works for infrastructure. The total from the provincial disaster grant was 120.3 million. From the municipal disaster recovery grant, that is accepted over a period of time, the municipalities that accessed is Maruleng, Nationally Umvoti, Eden, Langeberg, Cape Winelands, and the amounts are depicted there, honorable members. Next slide, which is 20, municipal disaster recovery grant continuing, now for 2014-15. The municipalities that accessed are shown there in KZN province, Vulametro, Mdoni, Ugu, and so on and so forth. And then for disaster relief grants 14-15, also over the MTF period, Western Cape and Mpumalanga, and the municipalities are shown there, honorable members. Right. In terms of the spending, the funding allocated in 2014-15 was spent over the MTF, and note should be taken that Giyani local municipalities in Limpopo province received an amount of 24.9 to repair infrastructure. This is 14-15. And that while Tshwane Metro in Gauteng received an amount of 14.8 to repair, okay, Tshwane also received that amount, and Northwest was allocated 148 million to repair the earthquake damages in Dr. Kenneth Gaunda, and this covered schools in terms of education, housing, human settlement, and public buildings. And then from the provincial disaster grants 14-15, Free State received that amount, KwaZulu-Natal, that amount, Limpopo, 8.9, Mpumalanga, 35.7, and the total for all these provinces, these four provinces, is 85.8 million, honorable members. The 14-15 also for municipal disaster grants, the funds were allocated to the four districts in KZN, being Uthukela, Umzinyathi, Ngungundlovu, and Ilembe. And this is as a result of drought conditions that we had to respond to. For Mpumalanga province also, from the municipal disaster grant, so I think the difference we should always try to distinguish is between the name of the grant and the financial year, so that we can see that we are not repeating the same information. For Mpumalanga and Limpopo province, 10.92 million, and these are the municipalities that received the allocation, which is Unjindi, Ngomazi, Mbombela, Belabela. Next slide, 26, honorable members. The provincial disaster grant now, 15-16 financial year, for Gauteng, for education and human settlement, following the thunderstorms, 14 million was received, allocated, and 21.5 million was allocated for human settlement. The Department of Human Settlement, however, surrendered the allocated money. The Department of Education spent the allocated amount of 14 million. So you can see these are some of the challenges that you encounter. For 16-17 financial year, honorable members, an amount of 118 million was allocated to Merafong City local municipality to repair the emergency damages caused by the sinkhole formations. In terms of 17-18, from the allocation for Northern Cape, it's for the drought conditions. These are municipalities that have been allocated: Karreeberg, Namakoi, Gamgesberg, Richtersveld, Hantam, and Western Cape. We can see Cederberg, Drakenstein, Deurwaterkloof, Madigama, City of Cape Town, and Pitou. So these funds are currently being spent, as we report.
Yeah, Northern Cape is the Namakwa district. It's where I'm deployed.
Okay.
That's quite terrible then.
Thank you, Chair. From the, also for the Eastern Cape allocation for dealing with the drought conditions, it's Nelson Mandela, Kouga, Blue Crane Route, Dr. Bayer's Nodir, Sunday's River Valley, Ndlambe, Kougama, Magana, and Bashe. And work is currently in progress in respect of these honorable members. For in respect of provincial disaster grant also for 17-18 and 18-19, 17-18 Northern Cape Department of Agriculture received 42.3 million and implementation is on track, and 40 million is also allocated. For 18-19, Northern Cape will get 84.7 for agricultural drought and 38 million for Western Cape. On non-financial performance, just general information is that all the municipalities have spent the grants allocated to them. However, closed-out reports are still outstanding in some municipalities. And municipalities do not have emergency procurement policies in place, which is a concern, and that they treat emergency funding like normal funding, and this poses a challenge to respond the Tuma Mina wage. Additionally, the municipalities and sectors do not have contingency plans in place, and this has proved to the NDMC that they are not prepared at times for disasters. As a result, the projects were not completed within the emergency time frame, which is 90 days, and reporting is also a challenge irrespective of the provincial workshops that we undertake and reminders that we keep sending to them. And according, this is continuing in terms of how we are monitoring honorable members, that is slide 32. According to the grant frameworks, all relevant role players are assigned roles and responsibilities in ensuring that grants are being transferred to relevant recipients, and that monitoring and reporting of the grants is very crucial. The NDMC, in attempting to assist, establishes a national steering committee comprising of all relevant sectors to assess the situation and ensure proper documentation. And also that provincial disaster management centers establishes provincial task teams comprising of relevant role players to coordinate the assessment, funding, application, monitoring, and reporting. And recipients of grants are compelled to report on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis. NDMC conducts workshops. NDMC will be the National Disaster Management Center, conducts workshops with provinces and municipalities on a regular basis. And that the grants framework are issued annually and, of course, reviewed annually to ensure that they continue to be enabling to provide emergency relief. NDMC issues reminders to all recipients to submit reports a week before the due date to ensure that there's compliance. And in collaboration with the provincial disaster management centers and relevant role players, we also conduct on-site verification to the projects. And the NDMC recently collaborated with the municipal infrastructure support agent to identify recipients that are struggling to implement projects so that MISA can assist us in implementing this infrastructure project. The NDMC has also developed the monitoring and evaluation system. However, it focuses on disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation projects and will ensure that it includes the immediate relief projects in the monitoring and evaluation system. Challenges, honorable members, is the issue of incomplete documentation for approval. As the principles of the disaster grant have been outlined, we always have to satisfy ourselves that there's been compliance, so In some cases, you receive incomplete documents and it is difficult to process them. And also the issue of using funds for unintended purposes. Submit a business plan, but when you go to monitor, you check that there's intention to use the funds for something else. Funds being surrendered without infrastructure being repaired, a lack of proper or poor reporting as per the grant frameworks, we also face challenges there. The municipal infrastructure grant project being included in the damaged infrastructure, however, a full cost claim being lodged, which will result in double funding. So double funding is also one of the challenges that we work hard to eliminate. Quality standards being compromised where the same project being affected when disasters occur. So you find that you have repaired this bridge or these houses, but when another storm comes, they are still affected. So it means the issue of building back better is an area that really needs to be strengthened. The challenges are continuing inconsistencies with what is on the ground versus the expenditure of projects. You go to the ground, you sometimes do not find what is reported. Infrastructure backlog being included in the list of damaged infrastructure as a result of disasters. It's also the challenge that we face. And also projects falling within normal sector programs. Normal service delivery programs will then be included. And also insufficient capacity within the disaster management centers. You will find that there's damage in a particular municipality. The province is supposed to coordinate reports and also check whether the provincial departments can intervene, but there's no movement in that respect, and therefore the NDMC is not able to activate the necessary measures. Remedial measures, as we cannot sit and wait, we have to work hard to provide support. We have a technical, this is now slide 36, honorable members. A technical task team on planning, response and recovery has been established to ensure coordination of this work. B, facilitate workshops with National Treasury to assist municipalities in developing emergency procurement policies. The NDMC also conducts national and provincial workshops on the process to access and implement disaster grants. We also are strengthening monitoring, reporting and evaluation of the impact with regard to the value the grants have for service delivery. Conduct roadshows on disaster management legislative processes so that people understand the legislative imperatives. And we continually create awareness on disaster reduction and development of disaster reduction strategies, and as well as the promotion of integrated planning through the municipal integrated development planning processes to ensure risk mitigation and preparedness. And also activate the independent assessors to conduct assessment immediately following the occurrence. In conclusion, honorable members, the provincial disaster grants have been instrumental in responding to the needs of our communities during and after the disasters. It is, however, important to ensure that all organs of state mainstream disaster reduction in their programs and adapt to climate change, and also ensure that organs of state use the funds for intended purposes, and ensure that the projects promote resilience. Bullet point four, there's a need to follow the rent and evaluate the impact that the grant have in our communities, and we have this as our critical priority. And that all organs of state should budget for disaster management, and that calls for grants for organs of state to institutionalize disaster management is very critical. In conclusion, Honorable Chair and members, it is requested that the committee note the report on the provincial and municipal disaster grants, note that the NDMC and National Treasury work collaboratively to ensure speedy access to grants for organs of states and municipalities, note the challenges experienced with regard to reporting of progress by the receiving organs of state. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Well, Minister and Dr. Tao, thank you very much. Page 37, bullet point 3, a need to follow the RAND and evaluate the impact that the grants have in our communities. That's what it is about. We are preparing for a storm hitting this area of South Africa tomorrow afternoon and night. And when I drove to Parliament this morning, those people living along Sheikh Scarbo Drive, informal settlement is going to be hit the hardest. Yes. The zinc houses, and they're very low in terms of the sea level, the height above sea level. So that's the people we must think of. Treasury, Mrs. Gerekwa, are you ready? And then we will take the questions. Let's focus on the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I will not, because of the comprehensive presentation from DCOC,
yeah.
I will just skip through in terms of what we have here, because most of the things are similar to what they have. And as Dr. Tewu has already indicated, that part of the funding is already in the baselines of your education infrastructure grant and also the human settlement development grant that we did present on last week. So in our case, we're only going to focus on the Schedule 7 part of the grant, that is the for immediate release, that this funding remains unallocated until there is a need for release of funds for disaster response. So I'll go straight to the slide, which is probably because in some instances Dr. Tao dealt with the budget for different provinces. We are starting, in our case, we are starting in 2013-14 to say, yes, indeed, Northern Cape received, I think, 50 million in 2013-14, but because of one of the challenges, the late transfer of the money to provinces, because of the late transfer, which was transferred in March, so but the money was able to roll over to the following year for 2013-14, for
14-15. So that the administrator of ICAP in the Northern Cape Province, I was there. I
yes.
followed the money.
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
So I think we're going to see it even 2017-18 that it was also a challenge that Northern Cape did receive money, but they couldn't table a state adjustment budget because they need to table an adjustment budget before they are able to spend the money. So we'll see in the following slide that in that particular financial year, only Northwest they were able to spend the money that they received. When you're looking at the spending in 2014-15, in this case, only Limpopo could not spend the money. and most of the money for Free State, they got the money for the there were fires in Free State at the time, so it was for the animal feed. They needed to relocate the animal feed, and for the, in case of then was the for the animal fodder. And in the case of Mpumalanga, there were floods in that province, and they needed money was given to roads and transport and agriculture, because at that point in time, the money was not yet included in other grants, because after this period, the decision was taken to say, instead of having this the reconstruction budget given to other departments, it's best that it's done through the line department conditional grants. So in this case now we see the 50 million that Northern Cape, it was rolled over Northern Cape, and they were able to spend 86.4% in that particular financial year. This one has already been dealt with, that how they did receive money, but they could not spend the 21.5 million, which was mainly for human settlement. And I think members will recall that in the presentation for last week with Human Settlement Development Grant, there were challenges with in Gauteng in general. So hence they could not spend the money for the human settlement. But the part of education, which was 14 million, they were able to spend the money in Gauteng. Now, the past financial year, Northern Cape, there was a gazette in March to say they need to receive 42.3 million. But because it was around, as members will recall, that Easter was towards the end of March. So March was kind of a short month because we gave Northern Cape a gazette, but they could not table a second or third adjustment because they need to table an adjustment bill for them to be able to spend the money. So now what is going to happen, they need to surrender the money back so that they cannot even ask for rollover because the money is not in their books in this case. So the matter will have to be dealt between National Treasury and DCOP to say how to assess Northern Cape because they cannot spend this money. But in the case of Western Cape, they did receive the 40 million. But the 82 million, our understanding is that between us and DCOP both agree that they need to get an earlier kind of transfer for the 82 that they have in the current financial, so that they deal with that drought disaster in Northern Cape. One thing, honourable member, the 42 million, it was we gazetted the money in March around the 25th, I think around that time. So now it was too late because the Northern Cape Provincial Treasurer needed to table an adjustment bill, pass an adjustment budget at the legislature to table it. So because now you needed to prepare that and tell the legislature that you need to do this thing urgently. In their case, they could not because it's a process to go to the legislature and say we've got this additional funding that agriculture needs to spend. But they could not table that adjustment budget of this 42. So it's not in their book, so they need to send the money back to the National DCOP. Yes. So I think also in terms of the municipal disaster grants, Dr. Tao did deal with them in Agri. So I think, Chair, if you don't mind, I'll go to the challenges.
Yes.
So in our case, from what you have found is that, and I think also it relates to what Dr. Tao said, that there is inadequate capacity in the value chain, starting from where the disasters, people who are reporting the disaster, to deal with the submission processes. As he has already indicated, that there is an incomplete information provided, so, and also implementation across different spheres of government. So it's a challenge for us. And poor disaster risk management also we're seeing is a challenge, and climate change strategies and promises. Poor quality submissions already been highlighted, resulting in the application process being delayed. And also the issue of slow verification of submissions, with requests for funding to National Treasury coming late in the financial year, hence we transfer probably money late to provinces the last week of the financial year, which becomes challenged when they have to table the another adjustment because it's already late. It's all parties involved. So we have seen with the case of Northern Cape that if we transfer money late, there's a probability, low probability that the money will be spent because they're not able to table an adjustment budget. So, in conclusion, we are saying that capacity in the whole value chain of immediate disaster relief should be enhanced. Potential submissions are thoroughly thought through in order to ease any delays in approval and transfer of funds. And also the quality of disaster risk management strategies must improve in order to serve as an aid to mitigate disasters and their effects. The application process also be streamlined with uniform standard documentation and processes. perhaps we should have a standard submission and reporting template so that people should know what is expected from them. For the disaster occurring in the last quarter of the financial year, probably we recommend that the NDMC and the provincial disaster management centers must fast track applications to ensure that provinces have sufficient time to utilize the funds. Coordination and communication must also be strengthened to ensure that all existing processes are in place and all role players are aware of what is expected of them. And in conclusion, the NDMC and PDMC should improve the monitoring oversight of allocated funds to provinces and produce reports that reflect the impact of such allocations. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for Treasury. Honorable members, these two presentations actually serve as a monitoring tool. And we must forward this to our provincial legislators. With the Chair of Chairs and the specific chairperson of that portfolio committee and the MEC for COCTA. That's what I'm going to do after I leave this meeting. Honourable Minister?
Just to say that this hitch about the Northwest allocation, sorry, what did I say? Okay, no. No, Northern Cape allocation. I just want the members to note that there is nothing substantive about the money going back. It's an administrative hitch. Basically, the money gets transferred, and then the province is supposed to take it through and present to the state. Because they couldn't do that, that's the only thing. So we're going to make sure that it's corrected. So it's not a problem with the quality of the application or anything. It's just a simple thing that because of the times, they couldn't do it. So we just want to assure you that that matter is going to be resolved. It's not a matter at all.
That's good news for my province. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Minister, for that information. Honourable members, it's devastating when your area or your region is dependent on boreholes. As in my region, the Namakwa, there's nothing else. If it doesn't rain, you've got a serious crisis. And as we speak, coupons are being issued to farmers to go to Agri Northern Cape and get their allocations. I'm there this coming weekend. I'm there to go and look at where, follow the money, what's happening. But it's devastating if you are in such a situation. Yes, it's not nice to see. Questions? Honorable Motla Shuping, Northwest. Honorable Terblanche, Western Cape. Honorable Zamandi, KZN. Honorable Shibangu, Free State. Eastern Free State got quite a lot of rain. And Honorable Monakedi. Yeah, they're from Clarence onwards, Bethlehem. Nice, very nice area. Other members in that order, Honorable Motla Shuping, Prof.
Good morning, everybody, Minister. Congratulations for your appointment in the new portfolio. The movement has trusted in you, and that is why they have entrusted you with this difficult task of managing municipalities. I'm very audible enough, Honorable Esak. Do you want me to shout? All right. Quite often, Minister, COCTA complains about the capacity of officials in municipalities. It is a common feature, year in and year out. The capacity in municipalities, vacancies in municipalities, and all that. Now, maybe I must start by saying, if the national department cries foul, it will give me a problem because you have reached the ceiling. And if it cries to who? Because I think they are appointed to manage and be able to resolve issues. I am referring specifically here to the issues that they say. You know, they are alarming and saying poor reporting, non-reporting of municipalities. Who must do their compliance issue to ensure that municipalities report? It is themselves, and they must put mechanism in place that would ensure that municipalities are reporting as required, because they must follow the money. It should not just be in paper that we follow the rent. They must indeed, because you see, writing to us here and say you follow the rent, and when you read here deeply, there's nothing like following the rent, because you don't get the report from municipalities. There's poor reporting, and you don't even explain to us in this meeting as to what you are doing about municipalities that are not reporting. There are no consequences. You allude to the fact that as you release the fund to municipalities, municipalities equally do not follow the required procurement processes. This is crying foul. I thought you would tell us that these municipalities that did not follow the required requirement processes, these are the consequences that we have embarked on as the department, the national department for that matter. Chairperson, I am a little bit confused, and I need clarity. When you apply for funding, they say you must include the classification letter. Do I take it that the municipality which is affected by any disaster has to write a classification letter? Because this is application for funding. Who applies for funding? A declaration of state of disaster. Which are the requirements of the application? Hey. If they could unpack for me these processes that they have, just because to me it's a tedious process, and disaster is disaster. Nobody calls for a disaster, and then you've got to follow a tedious and bureaucratic process of having to apply and assessment and then approval and all that. Let me go back to the Northern Cape issue. Minister, the you know, National Treasury and the department, from time to time you talk about late transfer of money, year in, year out, late transfer of money, and money has to be subvented. This is a lame excuse that you will handle the matter, but you still transfer late. And who is the person, who is the responsible here, stakeholder who transfers money late, knowing very well that the province will not be in a position to spend the money? If you give me money in March, it's like dumping. And then you've got a month to implement in a financial year. That's financial dumping. And it's not only in the Northern Cape, it has happened in other provinces as reported here. So you are not even telling us what you are doing for the next financial year that would improve your systems to make sure that the money is spent as allocated. And the other thing, you know, disaster, you say people must have a plan. How? Because part of your responsibilities as a department is to ensure that local government, I was in local government, this document that they use for 5 years, what? IDPs. That within their IDPs, at least there's a plan for disaster. Because if it's not part of the compliance, how does the IDP go through and the budget goes through without that plan?
or is it a separate plan that the municipalities has to ensure that they have? Chairperson, other issues that I would want really to dwell on, if my colleagues do not cover it, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shipping. It will assist this committee if the department and or treasury can submit to us those municipalities that you are struggling with when it comes to reporting, because we are deployed in a specific geographical area. I'm in the Kamiesberg municipal area. I would like to see how their reporting is. I'm going to engage on Friday morning. I've got a meeting with my councillors in Garris. So this will be part of that agenda, doing our constituency work. So if you could assist and give us the names of those municipalities. Honorable advance.
Chairperson, thank you. I want to start by thanking the minister and his delegation for honoring, and especially the minister. Thank you, minister. You know, we are battling now and again to get some of the ministers here, and I really appreciate that you made, you know, you decided to come here this morning. Thank you. Then secondly, I also want to commend yourself and your delegate, especially Dr. Tau, on the quality of the presentation that you did. Really, this is something that I think this is a very good presentation, so thank you for that. I'm going to venture, with your permission, Chairperson, on my first question just a little bit wider. It is a common phenomenon that we see in here that, you know, the capacity, you know, on provincial and or some provinces, and then obviously on, you know, municipal level, the capacity to execute. That is really a problem, and that is something that I just want to bring to your attention, and maybe, you know, if we can get that sorted, that will also sort this one out, but that will also enable municipalities the rollout of the different projects. So that is just something that I wanted to highlight. My colleague did touch on the late transfers, and that is really a problem. I remember the time that, you know, fodder and stuff needed to be distributed, you know, for farmers, for, you know, the animals. It was really a problem before the funds, you know, finally got sort of transferred for that purpose, and that is just something that I would also ask to, you know, that we pay attention to that. Chairperson, then, I also want to ask, I understand the process that needs to be followed, the due process that needs to be followed for during the application phase to get assistance from this fund. We heard that, and I just want to clarify that, is it a cost estimate only, or a guesstimate or whatever, or is it, you know, something better than that? I can just assume that, you know, at the later stage, you know, surely you need to have, you know, a proper costed sort of exercise to enable you to plan properly. But at the very initial stage, is it only a cost estimate done by some expert? And if it is an expert, you know, what is the sort of background of that people that is doing this cost estimate? Chairperson, the unspent funding, I do understand, obviously, this is just, you know, you apply for the amount that is going with the disaster that you want to address. Now, the unspent money, that money is merely going back to Treasury for allocation again at a later stage, or what is the position? And then lastly, Chairperson, I'm referring now specifically to the water disaster that we had here in the Western Cape, or problem, and not only in the Western Cape, other areas as well. Part of the so-called disaster that we end up in, at the end of this whole process, is also due to, and that's obviously not within your environment now, that's not the planning that needs to be done there. But we need to get to a point where we get proper integrated planning in advance, you know, where projects are going to be rolled out, you know, in advance, taking into account, you know, all the factors that contribute to the need. And I think it's a bit lacking at the moment, and maybe the good minister can speak to his colleagues there where they, you know, meet and, you know, push that we start doing proper planning in advance again. Chairperson, thank you. That is my little contribution for the morning. Thanks.
Mandy.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to Kabazela and his team. We both of us share with from the city of choice with the minister. So, all right, yeah, city of choice, Msunduzi. I know he would not like to talk much about it at this stage, but yeah.
He was an excellent premier.
Yeah. Yes. No, Chairperson, you know, I think we need to emphasize the fact that we are concerned about the, you know, treasury's these late payments. I mean, talking, we had the problems when we were briefing the province early this year, you know, on these late payments, late transfers, because it affects even how you arrange the program of the legislature to sit to get the necessary adjustment for you to access the funds. So we had it happened when KZN was ready and already spent the education grant, you know, and on the day that, I mean, they had one day left, but they had to try and introduce a bill that adjusts the funds. So I think it is important that we put an imperative really to Treasury on that one. Chairperson, I think following on, taking the cue from my colleague, Honorable Mutashubing, you know, I think we should be more interested in hearing on how the Disaster Management Center is positioning itself, you know, and to play its role quite effectively. I'm saying that, Chair, because again, when we get back to the province in KZN, the issue of them disappearing with the report of assessments, I think it was for Eteguini municipality. So it leads me to ask a question of a turnaround. What is the turnaround, you know, and are they poised for this? So we would want to hear how you are set up in terms of your own capacity as the center. Structurally, human bodies and whatever, because I mean we have a case in point where then KZN application in December last year was submitted, but then you were not satisfied, so whatever the conditions are, you then went back and do the assessment as stipulated and required by law, but then the turnaround then was the major issue. I mean, up until this year at the time. So perhaps you might have the detail of the case. I no longer have the facts here with me, and I don't know what's the progress with that application that they had last. But it's important to raise the matter on their behalf, because when we went to brief them as the Appropriations Committee, they raised such problems. And it's incumbent upon us to really deal with to raise such concerns and matters as well. And also, so that the turnaround. What is the turnaround? I must ask this question. Then you know, perhaps it will help us to bring light into how you then do your monitoring and assisting municipality. The presentation covers from the inception, which is 2010, and we are now in 2018. Have we done any review? Because I guess any policy work, any policy or plan, or okay, the act follows a different process. But have we evaluated, you know, what we have since inception so far in terms of how effective, how does it help us to be well poised to respond? Because, you know, you set up a steering committee, Dr. Tao, you set up a steering committee with all sectors. I'm not too sure when and what you refer to when you say all sectors. It's a steering committee of 20, 30, 50, or 10, 5, I don't know. You know, you're saying a steering committee of sectors. So we should be able to deal with what I think, unrealistically, I'm not saying it's not important, but it's a bit above board and quite stringent, you know, the conditions of compliance, Then that leads me to ask another question, Chair. One of the issues that we've been grappling with has been the issue of misplacement or misplacement of or lack of clarity, and I think the minister might comment as well on that, on this one. The placement of the disaster centers in municipalities, where some of them place it in planning, others place it even in LED, and I'm sure others might even put it in security or something. I'm sure it's not for the disasters, but I'm sure one of the issues of them being able to comply and do the necessary work that makes them qualified to get the funds in time, is because some of them are in human resources. Some of them have no own bodies; they are centres. And my understanding was that the Act requires them to have a structured centre. And so, partly why you would not have them putting it in plans, in the plans for in the ITPs or even have a plan for them. Because there's no own bodies. It's not put where it's supposed to be, as you know, or held in the proper unit in the municipalities. And I think a number of municipalities have not provided that provision properly, structurally and organogram-wise, I think. I think the last one, Chair, would be the issue of if there are any plans that they have going forward in dealing with the challenge. We have to note what they are presenting as challenges, and they have set up a steering committee. But what does the steering committee do? Is it helping them? Are we having a plan that is looking forward in making sure that these things do not? But and then in conclusion, Chair, you know the Northern Cape matter and Harekwa says Western Cape managed the late payment the late transfers was made. Northern Cape couldn't. Western Cape managed, for Northern Cape it was administrative. So I'm not too sure. It's a bit high flight, Jay. You know what the detail in terms of not what the Northern Cape did, but how did the Western Cape manage then, if the late transfer was an issue, and if holidays are the issue. Therefore, the month is short. I think it is an issue that needs a bit clarity, so there's no doubt about it to anybody who is listening and any other province that might be affected. Thank you, Chairperson.
Shabangu, and then Honorable Monakiri.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister and Treasury, and I should give Minister, you're from the most beautiful city, but without housing when you go to the villages. I must say that because I once visited Natal and I saw that no, the housing is not in good condition. I'm from the poorest province, one of the poorest provinces among the nine, being Free State. You always pass there when you go Natal. You can see that we're the poorer of the poorest, though we talk about Hlasela and all that things. I'm going to repeat some of the things that were said because they affect the province where I come from. Minister, I would like to know what measures do you have in place, especially the treasury, to see to it that grants are used to the intended purposes? Because it seems as if grants are not used for the purposes that they were meant for. Then this would serve as an eye-opener. Quality construction, I think, must be acquired in order to keep the malpractice of using the grants for the unintended purpose. Then the recipients of the grants, I think, are compelled to report on monthly, like you have alluded to, and quarterly dates. Do they usually comply, the municipality? Because if they were complying, there were not going to be complaints from the people of this and that and that. Then Free State animal feed disaster. Most of the food, the lucerne and animal feed, they usually cross the country to the neighboring country. Illegally so, because most of the officials, I'm speaking from the experience, are from Lesotho that are hired to work in the Free State Agricultural Department. Municipalities do not have policies in place, hence the delayed implementation of immediate projects. How can a municipality do not have policies in place? They must be ready or be prepared for the unprepared. You can't release money belonging to the state or taxpayers to people who do not have policies in place. It's a waste of money. Bullet number 23. It says Free State got disaster grant for agriculture only, whereas the citizens of Free State, especially in Maludiapofu, did not have water for the three consecutive years, being in possession of one of the biggest dams when you go to Natal there, being Sterkfontein, which supplies Gauteng only with water. Nothing is said about roads and transport, whereas roads are in a bad state of affairs in Free State that we have acquired from apartheid, being quality roads. Do you also monitor what is called municipal insurance that has insured buildings and assets belonging to municipalities with tunes of millions, if not billions? Then last, the snowfall. We are staying in the outskirts of Natal and Lesotho. Snowfall is one of the disasters. At one stage, cattle belonging to the poor of the poorest died because of this disaster at the municipality. and up until today, those poor people are still crying to say, when is our government going to lay a helping hand? Thank you, Minister. Thank you.
Honourable McKinley.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And also thanks to the Minister and his team for the presentation, including the one by the National Treasury. My colleagues have covered a lot of ground. I will just touch on some few points that I feel need to be emphasized or have not been covered. The first point that I want to make is that the department, COCTA, is at the center of making sure that they coordinate and support the work that municipalities and provinces have to do. As far as service delivery and development is concerned, they are very central. They are the department entrusted with the responsibility of making sure that these spheres are actually supported and are up to scratch in terms of what is expected of them. Listening to the presentation, it's clear that there are a lot of gaps that need to be addressed. And given what I've just said, it means they really have to jack up and make sure that they assist in the process of ensuring that those gaps are indeed dealt with. For instance, in the presentation, I think a point was made that there is a challenge in terms of making sure that there is mainstreaming of disaster risk reduction in our municipalities and to some extent in our provinces, including in terms of or as far as climate change adaptation is concerned. This is reflected in the IDPs that are being adopted by municipalities, which says very little or nothing as far as these aspects are concerned. My understanding, at least as far as I can remember, when I was still... Sorry? Oh, I see. I was saying, when I was still there in municipalities, I remember our IDPs used to be taken to the Department of COCTA or COCTA in the province for them to be assessed, you know, and for them to get a stamp of approval to say, yes, they are up to scratch in terms of covering all the key areas. So I'm saying the department has got that duty to make sure that as you assess this IDP, this element has to be checked so that it's adequately covered in the IDP in terms of programs, but also in terms of making sure that the structure, the organizational structure, caters for it as well. So that the right people are actually appointed, so that they are equal to this particular responsibility. My colleagues have also touched, I think, at length, the issue of fiscal dumping. You can't transfer money. You can't transfer money, I mean, in the last week of February. I don't think National Treasury was being responsible, especially as far as the Northern Cape is concerned. They should have seen that this one is not going to work and not even try to transfer the money. I think they wanted to pass the buck so that North Cape then gets blamed for not having done anything with the money transfer, you know. But the other issue is on lack of emergency procurement policies in municipalities so that they are able to respond, you know, swiftly to disasters that do occur from time to time. I'm saying the department obviously will have to make sure that in their interaction with SALGA, with municipality, and when they come back next time in this forum, you know, this issue that they are raising, and this one in particular as well, is actually also responded to. We are updated as to whether the situation is improving or not. Yes, and yes, the department obviously has to very closely monitor these monies, no? That are allocated to municipalities, to provinces, in terms of ensuring that they are actually deployed for intended purposes. I'm worried about a point that they made, that yes, money has been spent, but closed-out reports are still outstanding. Those reports are the ones, I mean, obviously, that should tell us whether things are been done or have been done properly, whether those projects are there. In the presentation, I don't remember them specifically, especially at municipal level. Say, in this municipality, this was the project that had to be implemented and completed. And I didn't hear them say this is the project and whether those projects have been completed. So it's very important that I think when they present, because we are talking about the allocation there. Has the allocation been deployed for that project? Is the project up and running, completed or not? Yes. Yes, and then lastly, I just want to check for 2017-2018, there was no allocation for municipality disaster recovery grant, unless I missed something. For municipal disaster recovery grant, there was no allocation. I just want to understand as to the reason. Thank you.
I think if the department can give us more detail on the municipalities. He can't do it now. I don't think it's possible now, but I can forward that to the committee and the secretariat. I noted, Honorable Mr. Supreme, you had a long input, so be short, please.
Very short, Chair. One issue that is critical here that my colleagues did not cover adequately is the issue of outsourcing. Like municipalities are discouraged. Now you have the independent assessors. And when I read this sentence on slide 8, you say independent assessors are appointed to conduct damage assessment and cost verification for post-disaster reconstruction and rehabilitation. Post means, in my little knowledge, doctor, is that work is done. After the work is completed, these people only come now to do, in terms of this sentence. Yes. Now, how do they conduct damage assessment? Because the damage has been corrected. Well, you clarify it, but I'm reading it that way, the way you put it. Now, on your slide on disaster grant allocations and transfers. You know, when I read here, because I understand that really disaster, as you plan, it may be zero at some point, which is abnormal. But I'm just saying it's something that you respond to in terms of when it happens. But what happens to the shortfall in terms of your expenditure? For an example here, you were allocated 305 million, and then the actual transfers were only 15.1, and the expenditure was 15.1. Is the money that remains taken back to the national fiscals or what? Maybe that must be clarified. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. We must also be mindful of the other stakeholder who role players in the Department of Agriculture when it comes to that part of the disaster relief, the 6 billion rand in terms of the division of revenue that was mentioned by the Honourable Minister of Finance. Minister, you can lead the team by replying, and the Treasury can also come in. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and thanks to the members, firstly, for the warm words of welcome. It's my first time here, so I appreciate that quite a lot. Thanks for your comments and your questions. You know what these comments do? They help us to go and look a little bit deeper on the issues that we're doing. Well, sometimes you think everything is there. Then until someone who's not part of it comes out and says, but what is this? Then you say, oh, there's a gap here, but you see, you're familiar with it, so you don't even assume there is a gap. But once somebody raises, then you see. So, a few things. The issue most of the members have raised is around capacity. I want to explain it in two ways. The first problem is that we are, in general terms, talking about the lack of capacity in the municipality. part of what we're doing now, we've gone into a number of municipalities and assessed them. One of the days I'll be here in the NCOP talking about this, assess them and looked at the major areas where we need to intervene. And I want to give you three areas. There's a whole area of governance. You know, your MM, do they have the right qualifications, do they have the right vacancies, have they filled them, and all of that, and so forth. We are going to have teams that are going to focus on that issue, sort it out. As a matter of intervention, having seen the numbers of municipalities that we consider dysfunctional. So there's one lot there. Then the second part deals, I won't go into details, second part deals with the issue of financial management. Again, here is the CFO having the right qualifications, they have the right training, and everything, are they following the processes and everything, do the proper budgeting, etc., etc. We deal with that lot. The third lot is the whole area of infrastructure delivery. Here, again, we've decided to put up teams. We've already announced, at the moment, we've announced about 16 teams of town regional planners, engineers, whether electrical or mechanical, etc., to go into a district and take over the whole planning of infrastructure and manage the execution, implementation, and monitoring of programs so that no one has got a mid-grant that gets returned or diverted to someone else because they can't spend. So there's this approach on the issues. The major parts of the municipalities when we talk about capacity. So quite rightly, we can't be every day complaining there's no capacity there. It's our job to go and fix them. So in this case, we're doing that. The only slight difference here is that disaster management is not the mainstream thing. You only discover when there's a disaster, but here there's a problem. Because generally, we focus on these major areas. Even there where we know there are weaknesses, we're going to try and correct them. But we're not taking too much account of, you know, check everywhere, do they have all the right qualifications and everything. We do find it when we go along and say, then now we realize that we're hit by the fact that they don't have enough capacity. So it's something that we will actually go and work on to say, can we ensure that these municipalities have the right qualification at that level? It's also problematic because there are municipalities that have never been exposed simply because they never had any significant disaster. But when you get hit by a disaster, that's when you discover, oh yeah, but there's a vacancy here, but they don't even fit in the right organogram here and so on. So it's an issue that I think we must now note for future attention. But it's not been an issue where we've been sitting there. I mean, if you were to talk about excuse me, Western Cape, and I'm making a theoretical example, did you ever check how many water engineers they have in every town? So that now that there's a crisis of water, we now have to start saying, but do you have engineers on water? The issue had never risen to the same extent until the disaster exposes it. So that becomes the one issue. So I want to put it like that and say I think we will just need to go and just follow it up as a matter of attention, seeing that we've got these kinds of disasters. And they're actually interesting because you have a problem in here in the West Cape we're dealing with drought disaster. People who will understand that are not the same as those who will be understanding the snowfall disasters. A different issue. Flood disasters. And in some instances, of course, like in cases that you get both, you get a drought, and then all of a sudden you get a flood, and you get this kind of, you know, interaction. So I think we will just need to follow it up. I'm even tempted to think that when you deal with municipalities, disaster management is not mainstream. It's a kind of thing that arises at a particular time. You only get exposed when things go wrong. So that's the one issue that I think it's a very useful point that we have raised that I think we need to go and deal with. The second point has been raised by several members. It's around, I think what Mr. Honorable Mugeti said, is fiscal dumping. I think everyone has raised this issue here. My main problem, so I sat with Dr. Dao over a long time and I said, people have had disasters, why aren't you just paying the money? And they said, well, there are rules. Firstly, you want to always avoid that any municipality or province should not neglect their normal work that they should be in budgeting for. And then all of a sudden use this as a bypass mechanism to avoid the normal bureaucratic process of following the budgets, doing your plans, getting approvals, and so on. And you just see as a disaster, oh, now we want a bridge here. But there was no bridge before. You needed, you see, people have now been swept away. There's no bridge. But now your argument is that, well, you give us money so that we can put a bridge on an emergency basis. In fact, this bridge should have been part of your normal infrastructure planning. And you didn't do this. So how to distinguish between those two? So we went through these issues, and then I said, okay, but once someone has made the application, how do you go through the process? Just, okay, now you see there's a disaster. Then I said, no, we also want to know if were there any other resources that were allocated to this type of problem? You know, so some months back, some years back, you would find, for example, talking about KZN, a situation where for a long time it was clear that there were not there was going to be assistance needed to assist the farmers, and so there was a well budgeted process to assist the farmers. Of course, once you get a flood or a fire disaster or something, there's a sudden shortage of people that properly planned for their stuff. It arises now. So the question is, was there any other mechanism by which this issue should have been catered for in the first instance? Are there insurances? So this tedious process is really where the delays are coming from. Now, when you look at those delays, it's always, I think, officials, everyone understands, if there's a gap, you take it. You know, if you can raise this money, you can take that money, you can raise your application and get assistance, because that opens a gap. But if they know that it's all strict and rigid, then obviously everyone knows it's going to be scrutinized. Is this scrutiny that's really taking the process, that delays? In this case, my sense was that because the disasters don't have a calendar. It can arise late. You see, that's the one problem. But it can also take a while to assess the damage, especially you are raising the question of the post-disaster verification thing. You have a disaster, and then you have your team that goes and says, okay, we've got 15 houses that are damaged. Somebody else must come and verify, is it 15 or not? Because the others may well be, in any case, old, dilapidated. They will just include, no, this one doesn't fit, that one fits, and so on. That's the verification that you go through. Because of that, you're going to find your processes get a little bit delayed. So by the time you get to approving, you have actually lost some time, which is part of that normal process. I think this is where this team was caught up. And if you had a late application, because the disaster happened late and then the process would take a while, that's how they got caught. That's why my point quickly is to say, leave that issue, because it will be corrected. It's not the fault of the province, it's not the fault of national, it's the fault of the time frame. Now, you can't argue too much about that. What you need to watch, which I think is a good point to raise, let us not have the departments coming on the last minute to push the money away and so that they clean their books. That issue is an issue that Treasury knows. You don't do that. And actually, ordinarily, you always make sure when you're sitting in a department, you do your in-year monitoring, because you must be able to predict that if at 50% of the year you haven't spent 50% of the budget, you are going to be forced to dump at the end of the year. What do you do to correct all of that? So I think we'll keep that in mind as we deal with this thing. However, my sense on this one is that there's been quite a rigorous process, and I've always been concerned, are we not going to be so rigid and strict that we might actually undercut communities that might be needing? So, for example, the issue that's been raised, Honorable Reply who talks about the snowfalls. It's a very... It's you. Oh, okay, yes, Mr. Shabang. You raise the issue of the snowfalls. It's a very painful thing, because you talk about this area. Throughout the night, people don't know there's snow falling, and then by the time it's the morning, the animals are so knee-deep on this thing, they die. And somebody needs to respond. And the problem which I was raising is that the ordinary villagers don't know you can go and ask for assistance. Sometimes the animals are taken by flood. The poor gogo sitting there doesn't know you can go and request, and that's all she can do. And the question is, we need to be sensitive to those kinds of things, especially because they are not having access to laptops where they're going to put up proper applications. So I think that's a good point that we must talk about. How do we help in such instances? Is there a mechanism that can make it easier for people to be able to get to give access to get access to the disaster fund, as it were? So I would say that's the second point that I wanted just to deal with. Then question of the misplacement of the disaster management in municipalities. Where should they be where should they be located? I think it's an important issue, so that for point of view of quick response, proper supervision, and easy monitoring, I think that we need to follow up. The question of monitoring the projects, we must also just recall that from COCTA, we'll allocate the funds. But once some work is being done, we do expect that the council, where this money is being spent, must also take their own responsibility and monitor that this, because it's their project, that province, that legislature must do the same. And of course, honorable members here, together with us. So I think that we should also have that understanding. On our side, what is easiest to do is to monitor the expenditure pattern, and then you can do spot checks. But with all the projects that are coming up, you won't be able to go everywhere. Sometimes what we expect from our point of view is that when we sit in our joint forum like MINMEC, we expect that the MECs must be the ones who take responsibility for monitoring what is happening there. So it's a joint responsibility. Let me leave it at that. There was one point that was raised, which I'm trying to find now. But I'll probably just come back if it's the issue around proper integrated planning in advance. That issue of integrated planning is actually an issue not only just in disaster, but the whole issue of spatial planning involving interdepartmental collaboration. When you deal with municipalities, housing, all of them together, this is an issue that we're working on. Also in terms of planning government work, there's a bill now that's being piloted from the Department of Policy, Performance Management and Evaluation, to try and help to pull together the issue of integration. That aspect and the issue on the one side also of the land use management planning, all of these issues, the question of integrated planning is key for government to operate properly. So I think it's a point that we'll take a note. But can I just hold it at that, just to say the rest of the questions are specific to the presentation, and I'd like the members to deal with them themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tao.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Minister, for the very clear response. Honorable Chair, I would like to request that I ask my colleague, the Chief Director responsible for Risk Reduction and Response Coordination, to just fill in after I've commented, and also my colleague from Treasury to take some of the issues. Minister has covered a number of points, but on the NDMC capacity, the National Disaster Management Center in particular, I just want to indicate that we are doing work to ensure that the capacity improves so that we have a matching capacity to deal with the responsibility that we have nationally. Currently, we are just below 30 officials, and as you can imagine, we don't only deal with response, we have to deal with risk reduction issues, we have to coordinate structures, we have to ensure that we do risk assessment nationally for all hazards, anthropogenic, your hydrometeorological, and so on and so forth, but also ensuring that we promote education and training. There are already university courses, we are providing bursaries, and of course also the policy development aspects and information and technology aspects. So we are quite vast on the ground with that limited capacity, but we are doing some work in that respect. The other issue is the strategic posture or focus of the function. As disaster management is a development concern, we subscribe to the need to ensure that the NDP, National Development Plan, objectives are achieved, and therefore we have to make sure that all sectors that are responsible for chapters, different chapters in the NDP, are supported to mainstreaming risk reduction proactively for that matter. So we are doing a lot of work there, and we really are guided by the principle that disaster risk management is everybody's business. So we want to inculcate that in all the sectors. And I think from a coordination perspective, honorable members will appreciate that the disaster management stands in two streams. The first stream is the coordination role that you play, which is what municipal disaster management centers, provincial disaster management center, and national disaster management does. And then the second stream is mainstreaming. That is mainstreaming by water and sanitation, environmental affairs, agriculture, human settlement, and so on and so forth. So this therefore shows that consensus, because it's an IGR responsibility, intergovernmental relations responsibility, consensus between the coordinators and the mainstreamers is always important. So we spend a lot of time in terms of coordinating forums, from ministers' forums on the interministerial task team, the Intergovernmental Committee on Disaster Management, and our forum, that is called the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum, and other technical committees to deal with this matter. On the issue of the turnaround, particularly on response issues, Minister has covered this point, what leads to the delay, and it is just those facts. But we always wish we can be within the what to build principles and make sure that we are prompt and efficient, and that is what we always strive for. Policy review, we have our act was just reviewed recently, 2016, to ensure that the issue of mainstreaming climate change is included, the issue of participation of traditional leaders in the disaster management forums is included, and the role of local government, the municipalities, local municipalities, because there was an issue about whether disaster management is a district function or local function. So the Act now it clarifies those aspects, including the reporting arrangements of heads of disaster management head of disaster management center, particularly at national level, to ensure effectiveness. So that policy review has happened, and we, of course, are endeavoring to make sure that the NDP is realized and from a global perspective, support to achieving the 17 Sustainable Development Goals is realized through disaster reduction. I think the plan to deal with challenges, some are contained in the presentation, and Minister has indicated clearly the important work that we are doing. Some of it that members will be directly interested is the fact that with the Department of Environmental Affairs, there is a development of a climate change bill, and we are a key stakeholder in contributing to that, because implementing climate adaptation in particular is a risk reduction issue. So we are working with them in that regard, including the adaptation strategy for the country that we are implementing jointly. The issue of the financial years misaligned challenges, yes, it is indeed an issue, but there are proposals that we are looking at in terms of ensuring that the disaster grants are exempted. And this is just a proposal. We are still going to workshop it and engage the relevant authority. Disaster grants are exempted from the financial year close processes so that implementation can just go smooth. This is just, as I said, a proposal that we are considering. May I request, Chair, that my colleague just respond to specific points which are very technical, briefly.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, thank you, Minister and Dr. Tau. I've been trying to tick all the questions that have been responded to. One of the issues that I want to really stress on and I know it has been a matter of concern, is the issue of the turnaround, the assessment that we conduct. And I want to indicate to the honorable members that as LENC, we are very, very hard on it, because there have been so much gaps previously, and we have ensured that we really need to do that scrutiny on the assessments because of the issues that have been raised on the presentation of some of the projects being backlogs, some of the project being the normal project that needs to be implemented within the normal programs of the sector departments and also the municipalities. So hence our process is very, very crucial and critical. And the other thing is that if ever the sector departments and also the municipalities were really giving us the projects that are disaster related and they need to be attended by the conditions of the grant framework, the process would really run smoothly and very fast. So I can give you an example that when you look at the 2010-11 disasters, there was an amount of 12 billion that was submitted to NDMC to assist with the recovery process. And with the thorough assessment that we have done with the independent assessors, we only came to 2.8 billion. The 10 billion that we have saved government with our thorough process is one of the things that needs to be noted. The other question that was raised was with the issue of the unspent funds. I think the minister has indicated to the honorable members that disaster management is not the first line or point of line. So the funds that are not spent, obviously they would go back to National Treasury. And I think Treasury will also further make more input to that. The other thing, what is it that we are trying to do to deal with the challenges that we have been experiencing? Honorable Manley has asked us the question, what does the steering committees do? We are trying to help the steering committees to assist and ensure that everybody is on board. Those that are affected, they are on board to ensure that the documents that need to be submitted are submitted well on time. The assessments, we really need to do the assessments, all of us. Like if ever there is damages in KZN, with regard to different sector departments, we expect that sector departments to be part of the assessment team, because we don't want a situation whereby when we then present the report to the role players, then one sector will come at a later stage to say, my department is not included in that process. And the other thing is to also draw that commitment and ownership from the sector departments of the process, and also ensure that we do the monitoring and reporting together. Others were more on the comments. The issue of the snowfall, we have the three provinces coming together. It's Free State, Gauteng, KZN, and Eastern Cape also, whereby we encourage them to come up with a contingency plan for the snow hazard. So what we normally do with regard to the South African Weather Services services, whereby they give us the early warnings, as NDMC, we ensure that we alert everybody and all of us will receive SMSs. So those SMSs assist us to ensure that we know and communicate the hazards that we are more exposed to and at what level are we supposed to really respond to. So there is that communication when we've got that hazard happening within the areas. And I think even last year we did have that kind of challenge. But yes, we really need to ensure that measures are being put in place. Agriculture must come on board to ensure that those farmers that are being affected, and even the small, especially the subsistence farmers, are really assisted in that regard. And we work together with them to ensure that whatever that happens, let's communicate. If ever there are funding that is required, we have to submit applications well on time and deal with the situation. Yes, it is true that the IDPs, when we do the IDP assessment, you find that the issue of climate change and disaster risk reduction are not dealt with. And it's one thing that we emphasize all the time when we meet with our municipalities and the sector departments to say, sector departments, when they also develop their own sectoral plans, they need to ensure that they talk to the IDPs of the municipalities, because everything happens at the local sphere of government. With regards to the issue of the 2017 allocation, 2017-18 MDRG, Municipal Disaster Recovery Allocation, not being allocated, from where we are standing, only Mirafung City Local Municipality, that's where the funds have been allocated of 26.1 million as a result of the sinkhole formations. So that funding has been allocated within the 2017-18 financial year for the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant. I'm not sure if there are specific challenges that Honourable Member Munakedi wanted to talk to with regard to the allocation for 2017-18 for the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant. I think, yeah, so far, that's the questions that I have identified. Thank you, Chairperson.
Munakedi, are you covered?
No, I'm covered. I'm okay, sir.
Okay, thanks. Mrs. Kharekwa?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to answer why Western Cape, they were able to table the adjustment, but just to indicate that in the case of Western Cape, because the national fires happened early in the year, they received the funding during November. They were able to table an adjustment budget during November as a, after the MTBPS, because they got the money around that time. So in their case, there were no issues of being late because the process happened earlier. Honorable Shawangu asked about what about the road disasters. As was indicated earlier, that the reconstruction and rehabilitation part of the disaster are part of the provincial roads maintenance grant that is going through normal process. It's a normal, it's a maintenance grant that goes to provinces. So in terms of provinces, they'll get money in that case. And I think in terms of municipalities, also, I'm not sure whether they will get the money through the recovery, through the recovery grant that money was allocated to Mirafun City. So that's where the disaster for the roads goes to in provinces. So I think those are the only two, because the minister covered the physical dumping part. But I think in future we'll work hard with the COCTA to ensure that we don't put pressure on provinces, but well on provinces, that we our processes are that late. I think we'll work towards improving in future.
Minister?
Thank you. Just to say the last point which I wanted to raise was the issue of self-contained dam. We have a number of areas where, because of the apartheid planning, people have dams residing where they are, but they don't have access to water. So as COCTA, we've gone out to do a kind of reconciliation. I think we have about 22 instances where there's bulk and community without water. So we've actually started a realignment program through MISA, Municipal Infrastructure service agent, where we have actually allocated money to connect the communities with the bulk water. So I think right now, I'm just talking top of my head, I think it's about 15 projects. Then next term we're going to take the rest to just sort this out so that you can improve the water availability on some of those. So if you find there are instances which are not taken care of, we'll just put them into this. So I've asked Dr. Dow to actually deal with MISA just quickly to give them the report. They'll give me a sense as to whether this is in their list of alignment or it is something that's going to happen now or later. We'll just get people to go and investigate. In any case, there's a few interesting things about Maluta Pofung that I'm actually focusing on. I won't waste your time today, but it's one of the areas that we're giving attention to. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Yes, Magareng municipality is actually Warrington. It's next to the Wall River. Magareng is Warrington. Just when you leave Northern Cape to Christiana, to Northwest, you get Magareng. 5 kilometers from the river, there were a community without water. But the massive Wall River flows past Warrington. And through the treasury, there's processes running to assist that community. If you look at the division of revenue allocations at the back of water infrastructure allocations, you'll find it there. Doctor.
I just said that is going to hold, is well, going to note that.
Okay, all right, fine. Honourable members, thank you, Minister, and your team for an excellent presentation. Honourable members, this was a very informative session. I learned. Definitely, I learned something. It brings again out the role, the principle of intergovernmental relations between national, provincial, and the local sphere, and the oversight role of the us at national level, but also the provincial legislators and councillors. We can go back and educate them what you must look for, because it's the same principle that we apply here that must be applied there. Yes, snow falls. Northern Cape also gets some snow. Sutherland and up in the Kamishberg. So please note those two towns as well. Honourable Minister, we're going to release you and your team and Treasury. We're going now to our minutes and housekeeping, so we won't keep you longer. But thank you very much. I don't want to roll over work, as the Treasury mentioned about funding. Where's Montachu? Honourable members, Montachu Ping and Esak, and you'll be seated. Bring your cup of coffee. Well, there's no coffee. Oh, gosh. All right. Honourable members, I put to you, I received the pack here, the minutes of the 2nd of May 2018, consideration of the National Treasury replies, responses to issues raised in the negotiating mandates on the DORA, the final mandate, the draft report, and draft minutes. I put to members page 1. Look at your names, present, apology, absent. I put to members page 2, introduction, consideration of page 3 of final mandates. We dealt in depth with that. And I put to members page 4, yes. Our Tambo district municipality is captured in our draft program for the third term. I saw that. Thank you. I put to members the minutes of the 2nd of May. Move for adoption of Monekedi. Honorable Terblanc, second. Yeah, you move.
Not he moved.
Well, thinking. You move. Hey, you must put up your hand, I'm.
That is loud.